Will you pray with me? Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Today, of course, is Mother's Day. It is a day where we honor all the women in our lives who have raised and cared for us. It is also a day when we reflect and remember the women who have gone on to God's promise, but who are still with us. I don't know if you know that Mother's Day actually began in 1907 in a Methodist Episcopal church in Grafton, West Virginia, by Anna Jarvis, who honored her mother that day. Her mother had died 2 years before. Anna was never married or had any children of her own, but she began the tradition in a Methodist church. The second Sunday in May is also another day, the Festival of the Christian Home. And according to our book of worship, this day celebrates the gift of Christian homes and affirms the Christian family in its wholeness. Those are both really very beautiful images. Mother's Day and the Festival of the Christian Home. And today, what is interesting is one of the texts from our lectionary, the guide that teaches us what we should preach from each Sunday, holds up a woman that does not fit either of these images, the typical image for Mother's Day or the Festival of the Christian Home. The story of the woman Lydia comes from the book of Acts. Hear these words. During the night, Paul had a vision. There stood a man of Macedonia pleading with him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." When he had seen the vision, we immediately tried to cross over to Macedonia, being convinced that God had called us to proclaim the good news to them. We set sail from Troas and took a straight course to Samothrace, the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in this city for some days. On the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate by the river, where we supposed there was a place of prayer. We sat down and spoke to the women who had gathered there. A certain woman named Lydia, a worshiper of God, was listening to us. She was from the city of Thyatira and a dealer in purple cloth. The Lord opened her heart to listen eagerly to what was said by Paul. And when she and her household were baptized, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come and stay at my home." And she prevailed upon us. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. There are a lot of amazing elements in this story, and they may not seem amazing to us because we hear them in a very different world from that of Lydia's. Paul, who has seen a vision, is seeking out a man from Macedonia to spread the good news to him. But instead, he goes on the Sabbath to a place of prayer near the river, and he sits down and he teaches and talks to a group of women. For Paul to sit down meant that he was taking on the role of the teacher, and it is a little bit of a surprise that this well-known Pharisee and teacher from Jerusalem was going to sit down and have a serious discussion with a group of women. But there listening is Lydia. Lydia is from the district of Lydia. Her name is the same as the district, the one that has the purple dye for cloth, but that suggests that she is unmarried. That is where she gets her name. And there are only two things we really know about her in the story. One is that she is a merchant, and the other is that she is a worshiper of God. Well, we know three things. After she opens her heart and her household is baptized, she opens her home. She insists that they come and stay with her, these missionaries of Christ. Today is the Festival of the Christian Home, and When I hear those words and I grew up with those words, I had an image of a mother and a father and children sitting around a dinner table, praying and thanking God for all that they had. And that's a beautiful image, but it's not Lydia's image. She is a woman. She is alone. She's a merchant. She's taking time from her business to seek God. And she hears a word for her life, and regardless of the risk to her life, she opens her heart and her home. She opens her home for the work of Christ. That is a very different image of the festival of the Christian home. Our Bible is so full of stories about families. Lots of different families, all types and configurations. But what I have feared over the last few years is that we have lost many of those voices about family that come to us from Scripture. Some of the which, by the way, would be completely and downright illegal today, as we know. Over the years, some of the voices of these families have been lost to us, and the Bible ends up being used as a moral workbook to define what it really means to be family. But then come the stories like Lydia's in Scripture, and we have to pause and we have to ask ourselves, what does Scripture say about the perfect nuclear family? What happens so often, I fear, from the church is that people hear these stories about the perfect family and our workbook methodology. And people experience themselves as having the wrong life story. The message might come across that the church is only somewhat interested in you and who you are, and God might only be marginally interested in who you are because you don't fit the perfect image of family. When I hear the words festival of the Christian home, I see the image of the church. A place where all are loved and upheld, where every image of a home life is held sacred. A family where there are no distinctions. The idyllic family, the body of Christ as a model for the whole world. All the people in this church are part of God's great story of humanity. Over the years here, I have seen and watched this family grow and change. I have heard your prayers for one another in the best and the worst of times. We have celebrated baby after baby being born to couples in our church. We had 11 baptisms last year. We've already done 4 this year. We have babies. And they have been born to both straight and gay couples. We have walked the path over the years with the Franklins, who lost the twins and then adopted their precious Aaron. We have been in prayer with Marcia and Amy as they each lost their mothers and then watched them baptize their little boy, Griffin. We stayed in prayer for 5 years for Sonia and Gerald with Sonia's niece, Micah, with her cystic fibrosis and the ups and downs, and the prayers, the staying with them when Micah went on to God's promise. We have prayed with the Conroys for Emma and her epilepsy and her fancy dresses and her beautiful high-heeled shoes. We have welcomed couples of every stripe. When we have celebrated the intergenerational families in this church who have been here over 100 years, the church is a family that knows your name, who intentionally knows and cares for you. To have Bob and Doris Stanley come back into my life after 30 years just shows how the church is family. I have never forgotten them. They have never forgotten me. After Bob retired, a man walked up to me at coffee hour, Stan Schroeder, and said to me, "How are you doing?" See, I had shared my call with Bob, And then Bob went on to move to Arizona. Stan Schroeder said, Bob wanted to make sure you were doing okay. Across all the miles and years, that is my festival of the Christian home. If you're visiting today, or if you're one of those gracious people who shows up with your mother or your grandmother on Mother's Day, don't know the hymns, but you kind of muddle through them. You are too part of the ongoing story of God's life, and you have added to the presence of this church. You have added to this family. I have heard so many of you say, and I know this to be true for myself, I don't know what I would do without the church in those tough times. Today, one of our daughters is working, the other two are in San Diego. Today, you are my family. Today, you are the festival of the Christian home that upholds me. We uphold one another. We all rely on the body of Christ to be our family. Many different images of family, all part of God's great story of humanity. Lydia stood outside her own culture. Lydia was committed, though, to finding a word of truth for her life. And when she did, she created a Christian home. A Christian home. Guided by the Holy Spirit, she is an example for us and for our daughters and for our sons. The church should be a home for everyone, every family, as part of the kingdom of God, where the good news of Jesus Christ, the message is that we are open to all who enter here. Christ calls us more than anything to be in relationship with one another, to love one another as he loves us. And where on this day of the fifth festival of the Christian home, we are the human family, and we celebrate the gift of home and affirm our family in its wholeness. I think that's a family portrait that we should all want to be in. Amen.